I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. Steve Bannon can't just walk into the Oval Office the way he might have done just a few weeks ago. He lost his White House job, and he's back at Breitbart News. It's unclear how much power he still wields, but author Joshua Green says that Steve Bannon is not someone to be underestimated.
When I first met Bannon, I actually thought he was a grifter, a recognizable Washington character type who kind of gravitates to the hot cause. But in spending time with him, you know, I've completely changed my view. I have no doubt that he believes what he says.
Green says that Steve Bannon has a clear and coherent worldview. And to understand it, you can start with his very Catholic upbringing.
His parents in the mid-1980s became Tridentine Catholics, and those are the Catholics who attend Latin Mass. It is a conservative form of Catholicism that was reintroduced by Pope John Paul II in the 1980s that wound back some of the Vatican II reforms. And Bannon's high school is actually a right-wing Catholic military high school. There aren't a lot of those, but the curriculum that he learned really emphasized the history of Western civilization through a Catholic lens. And in speaking to some of Bannon's classmates, they were taught that Christendom for millennia has been at war with Islam, that back in the 1500s, Ferdinand and Isabella, the Catholic monarchs in Spain, saved Christendom by repelling the Moor invaders, Muslims. And so Bannon was taught from a very early age to have this kind of apocalyptic worldview that said the Judeo-Christian West in particular was always under danger of assault and that Catholics had to be very vigilant in guarding against that.
Bannon then joined the Navy in the late 1970s. He served as an officer on a destroyer in the Persian Gulf during the run-up to the Iran hostage crisis. And President Jimmy Carter's botched attempt to rescue those hostages seems to have had a big impact on Bannon. Why?
Well, Bannon told me that he wasn't very political before he went in the Navy. His family were blue-collar, Irish Catholic, Kennedy-loving Democrats. But his destroyer was in the Persian Gulf and was involved in the build-up to the failed American attempt to rescue the Iranian hostages. And Bannon was both so disgusted with what he saw as Jimmy Carter's ineptitude and also, I think, radicalized by what he perceived to be the threat of radical Islam, that here these radical Islamic students had taken control of the U.S. embassy. And this was the sort of threat that I think Bannon believed he'd been taught about in high school, that this was a real threat to his way of life. And it was clear in talking to him over a number of years that this was a radicalizing moment for Bannon.
But on the other hand, while in the Navy, you write that Bannon also began a systematic study of the world's religions and that he carried on for more than a decade. He briefly practiced Buddhism before wending his way back to Catholicism. So he seems kind of, he's a curious guy.
I mean, Bannon is a fascinating and curious guy, and he is almost what I would describe as a kind of New Age mystical seeker. You don't get that from the public portrayal of Steve Bannon, but he is very widely read in obscure religious texts and told me he spent about 10 years during his time in the Navy and afterwards essentially reading himself through a tour of the world's religions. And this led him to some very odd and unusual influences. The primary one being his personal guru, a guy named René Guénon, who's an early 20th century French metaphysician who's raised a Roman Catholic, later practiced occultism and Freemasonry, but became the founder of a strain of theology called primordial traditionalism, which held that certain unifying religious truths were revealed to mankind in the earliest ages of the world, but that these have been basically lost by the rise of modernity since the Enlightenment. So Bannon, who is someone prone to very grandiose view of himself and his place in history, told me he really does believe that the world has been in decline since about the 1500s, and that one of the things that drives his politics and that drives what is obviously an apocalyptic worldview is this belief that the world is in the midst of a dark age and that we need to fight back against that.
You've spent a lot of time with Steve Bannon. You had long conversations. Does he truly believe that Western civilization is on the verge of collapse?
I think he does. And I don't think it's all just an actor for show, because there are You know, examples of him talking about this sort of thing, you know, going back years before Trump was really on the scene, there was a now infamous video of Bannon at a Vatican conference, which was thrown by a very conservative Catholic sort of splinter group in 2013, 2014, where he talks about all these things. He talks about some of his intellectual influences, people like Julius Evola, the fascist racial theorist Mussolini in the 1930s, who believed that the world was entering a dark age and that there wasn't this religious reawakening, that the world was rapidly heading toward decline.
The thing that puzzles me about Bannon is he is somebody, as you say, he's had a lot of different experiences in his life. You know, the military, Wall Street, Washington power broking. He's arguably lived in a wider variety of environments than many of us. Yet he really does have this sense that we're in a dark age and religion's going to be the answer. It just doesn't sort of compute.
Yeah. To me, in talking to Bannon, it really goes back to two things. One is this religious worldview, this view, this primordial traditionalist view he has that ever since the 1500s, the world has been in a state of decline. And I know it sounds very, very odd and sort of like something out of the Da Vinci Code, but part of Bannon's beliefs, part of Guignon's beliefs was the idea that time moves in cycles. And we know from all sorts of public interviews Bannon has given that he's really captivated by the Hindu concept of cyclical time. One of the movies Bannon made in 2010 was based on a book called The Fourth Turning, which has a similar sort of idea that America goes through periodic cycles of crisis and awakening. And Bannon's contention, this is a 2010 movie he did called Generation Zero on the financial crisis, was that the collapse of the global economy in 2009 and 2010 kind of heralded this slide into a dark age that Bannon's religion told him was coming.
Steve Bannon's now out of the White House, back at Breitbart. What power does he still wield?
Given that we have really critical bills that need to pass Congress in September, I think it's going to be a real test of how influential Bannon and his splinter group of nationalist Republicans can be in Congress, because he's made it clear to me and to other folks that he intends on going after the Republican leaders in the House and Senate, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, to try and inhibit them from doing things like carrying on government funding without radical cuts and without funding for the border wall and all sorts of things that are going to be very difficult for Republicans to pass. And I also think it's a reason that now that Bannon is outside the White House and is going to continue to try and exert his influence, that the divisions within the Republican Party, that the divisions between the White House and the Republican Congress are actually going to deepen. And it's going to be harder for Trump to get things done now with Bannon outside the White House than it was when Bannon was inside the White House.
Joshua Green is the author of Devil's Bargain, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump, and the Storming of the Presidency. Thanks for being with us, Joshua.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.